He was pierced, but the nails could not hold him. The cross could not finish him. The stone could not keep him, and death could not defeat him. He's risen, and you meant to say, he's risen indeed. As we continue our series through the I Ams, there are seven of them in the Gospel of John. We've looked at I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the gate of the sheep. I am the good shepherd. And this morning we're looking at I am the resurrection and the life. And so I want to pray even this morning that we can allow the presence of God to minister to us in our various localities. And if you're joining us online, welcome, and welcome to Gateway Church. Can we pray? Lord, I pray that the meditation of my heart and the words of my mouth may be wholly acceptable unto you, my Lord, my God, my Redeemer, my King and Savior. Lord, I pray that this morning your presence would invade our homes and our hearts. I pray for your anointing. I pray, Lord, that you would speak into every one of our contexts. And I pray this in your precious and mighty name. Amen. Amen. It's a bit strange. I'm in the auditorium, but there are empty seats. And I'm preaching to a lot of empty seats. And it almost feels like this could be the rapture. But then I'd be in trouble. So this immediate comes to mind. 1 Corinthians 15, a passage on the resurrection of the dead. And it says, we will not sleep. We will all be changed in the twinkling of an eye, in a flash at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable and we will be changed. What a day that will be. What a day, what a moment. Death, where has been swallowed up in victory? Death, where is your sting? Oh, death, where is your sting? Wow. And so this morning we're going to turn to one in John chapter 11, and this passage, we read about Lazarus and Mary and Martha, a home that Jesus loved to spend time in. But Lazarus has fallen sick, and he gets word to word's been brought to Jesus that Lazarus is unwell, and he delays for a couple of days to allow his friends to process some of the sorrow and the hardship of and the death and mourning of Lazarus. And Jesus deliberately does this so he wants to, because he loves them, and he wants them to witness an amazing demonstration of the power over death, thus seeing his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, John 1:14 tells us. He's demonstrating something of his glory. And the death and the raising of Lazarus is a foreshadowing and the ultimate messianic sign of Jesus' death and Jesus being raised to life. You see, this spectacular miracle anticipates Jesus' own resurrection, and Jesus is revealed as the resurrection and the life. So we pick up the story in John chapter 11, verse 21 to 27. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who's coming into the world. Friends, these brief six verses contain such powerful truth. Mary's statement, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. Friends, that could have been an expression of fact. It could have been an expression of faith. It could have been an expression of frustration or even a mild reproach or rebuke. She goes on to say, but even now, I know that whatever you ask for from God, God will give you. In spite of the circumstances, Martha holds on to a but God. Friend, when you up against the wall, when your back's up against the wall, there's a but God. There's times when, friends, all seems lost, but there's a but God. Perhaps your income dries up or your job is lost, but God. When someone possibly walks out on you, but God. When you, your family, your friends fall gravely ill, but God. When you feel isolated and alone, even now, but God. You see, God is a God who sees, and God is a God who hears. For He hears your cry. He sees your pain. He's a God who sees, and He's a God who hears. And if we cry not, He hears not. If we call not, He hearkens not. You see, friends, we receive not because we ask not. He's promised, if we seek, we will find. If we knock, the door will be open. If we ask, we will receive. You see, Jesus responds to Martha simply by saying, your brother will rise again. Friends, it's like He's testing her faith, seeing what's in her, and He's drawing it out of her, seeing where she's getting at. You see, in verse 24, Martha said to Him, I know that He will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Something we've just read from 1 Corinthians 15. You see, Martha's affirmation of an end-time resurrection was in keeping with the belief across the Pharisees, across the majority of the First Testament or first century Jews, and also in the teaching of Jesus and the apostles. It's kind of her safety net, her fallback position. You see, even in Acts 2, when Peter preaches on the day of Pentecost, he quotes Psalm 16, a messianic psalm of David, regarding Jesus and Jesus being raised up and the pangs of death being loosed off Jesus, like we're celebrating this Easter morning, that he's risen indeed. And then we see in verse 8 to 11, I will keep, this is from Psalm 16, I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With Him at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. In all that's happening right now, there's a good thing to hold too fast to. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body will also rest secure because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful ones see decay. Speaking of Jesus, you make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. And this is not the only Old Testament reference. In the first few verses of chapter 12 of Daniel, Daniel has a revelation of the end times and the resurrection of the dead, saying this, and I think we're living in these days, there will be this time of distress such as not happened from the beginning of nations until the end. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. You see, Martha misunderstood how far-reaching Jesus' promise was. She was thinking He was merely speaking of the final resurrection. You see, but Jesus meant so much more. He was speaking of Lazarus' bodily resurrection. He was pointing to, as we'll see in a moment, to His own resurrection. I don't know about you, but at times we all take the safe option. It's like, yes, God, I believe in healing, but is it your will in this situation? Yet God responds to faith. God rewards faith. God is pleased with faith. All things are possible if we only hold to faith and believe. And you see, here we come to the crux of the revelation in John chapter 11, verse 25 and 26. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? He's not merely saying that he'll bring about the resurrection or that he'll be the cause of the resurrection, which are both true, but something much stronger. I am the resurrection and I am the life. You see, that I am statement is a statement of deity. He's claiming to be God. He's not only the resurrector, He is the resurrection. Everyone who is raised is because of Him. Everyone who is raised is in Him. You see, Jesus not only enters into death, He went through death and He came out the other side. The grave is empty. Death could not hold Him. He broke free of death's power. He destroyed death and He's never had to die again and never will die again. Because death is destroyed, our resurrection is guaranteed. We are raised in Him. He is life. Hallelujah. He's resurrection life and He's resurrection power. right in the beginning of the Gospel of John, in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. John chapter 1, verse 14. He doesn't have life because anyone gave him life. No, he's self-existent. He's self-sustaining. He is life. He's God. And because he's life, he can give life. As the gate for the sheep, I've come so that they may have life and have life to the full. As the good shepherd, Jesus said, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. Friends, in youth camp, I can remember, this is maybe a cringe moment, particularly for my family. I can remember singing the song. And there came, it was a youth camp, so there was actions. And it went something like this. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will never die. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will never die. I've come to bring you truth. And then there would be like a little trumpet. Bop, bop, bop. I've come to bring you life. Bop, bop, bop. And if you believe, then you shall live. Yes, you shall live. And I just remember being part of the actions as a camp counselor and inspiring these youth to give the actions. And friends, there was such proclamation right there. You see, the resurrection from the dead and genuine eternal life in God, is in fellowship with God, are so closely tied to Jesus that they're embodied in him and can only be found in relationship with him. And you see, when Jesus goes on to say, do you believe? There's a personal challenge. And then he says, whoever believes in me. And that raises the question, do you have a personal trust in Jesus Christ this morning? A genuine faith that brings you into Christ so that you can rest in and become united in Christ. And Jesus goes on to say, whoever lives in me and believes, whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Wow. That spiritual life in Christ, we will never ultimately die. We will ultimately triumph over death. In the end of verse 26, Martha was asked by Jesus, do you believe this? Do you believe this? She answers, yes, Lord, I believe you are the Christ. You are the Son of God who's coming into the world. She's got a revelation of the Messiah, that he's the Savior of the world. And she puts her faith and trust in and believing in him. And as we heard in Psalms Sunday, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. A messianic expression from Psalm 118, verse 26. You see, friends, now the story unfolds and it's filled with emotion. Mary falls at Jesus' feet and she's weeping. It's strange that Martha got in a great theological exposition of who Jesus is. And somehow Mary moves upon his heart. You see, even the Jews with her are weeping. He's moved. Jesus is moved deeply in spirit and greatly troubled. And here comes the shortest verse in the Bible, in John 11, verse 35. And perhaps the most profound, Jesus wept. Jesus wept. You see, though he knew the resurrection and joy that would follow, he expresses this heartfelt mourning and honest sorrow in the face of suffering and death. He's not immune. He understands. He enters into their grief. And he says, when Jesus says he's deeply moved, he felt what they feel. Jesus was moved with profound sorrow at the death of his friend and at the grief that those other friends suffered. In addition, this sorrow was intermixed with anger at the evil of death. And we see in 1 Corinthians 15, the passage I read from earlier, the last enemy to be destroyed is death. And again in Revelation 21 verse 4, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Part of Jesus being deeply moved, I should imagine, was the deep sense of awe at the power of God that was about to flow through him in raising up Lazarus, that he may triumph over death. It's a precursor to the resurrection of the over death on the last day, when his voice would summon the whole world. Right now, I think of Jin Young's mom. She passed away on Thursday in Korea. And unfortunately, the family here I can't go to be with the grieving family in Korea. But she knew the Lord. Jin Young's mom knew the Lord. She's a godly woman. And that's great comfort to the family right now. You see, the word of God says to us, for those in Christ, to be absent from the body is to be with the Lord. How precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And so I want to pray for the family, and I wonder if you want to join with me. And all those who also are grieving right now in this nation, there's probably 8,000 or more families that are grieving with the coronavirus, death, and even sickness that's upon families and individuals right now. Let's pray. God, I acknowledge that you're the God of comfort and you're the Father of all compassion. And you said that you would give us and comfort us, and that we would be able to comfort others with the comfort that we received. You're a man of sorrows, familiar with suffering, acquainted with grief. You wept, Jesus. God, you entered into grief. And Lord, I pray right now you'd comfort the Kennedys, you'd comfort the rest of Jin Young's family in Korea and even in this nation. And many others, Lord, along with them. Right now, Lord, surround them with love. Cover them with grace. Reveal your comfort to them. Speak into their grief, I pray. Blessed are those who mourn. They shall be comforted. God, I pray that in their mourning there would be comfort. They would find comfort in you, God, the God of all comfort. And we do commit that to you, Lord, this morning. And we trust in you are the resurrection and you are the life. And that in you, death has no sting, death has no hold. And we celebrate that even on this Easter Sunday. You are risen, you have risen indeed. As you heard the message this morning and you thought, man, that's great news, that Jesus has conquered death, that he's risen from the grave and he's alive. And in him is that life, that resurrection life. He is that resurrection life. And I want to encourage you this morning, if you've never put your trust in Jesus as your Savior, as your personal Savior, as your Lord, won't you do that right now? Won't you say, actually, Lord, I need to give you my life. I need to trust you with my life. I acknowledge that I've lived my life away from you. And for that, I'm sorry. And that sin that I've committed, that choosing to live my will above yours, has separated me from you. And I want to ask your forgiveness right now. I want to give you my life. I want to give you my heart and invite you into my heart. And if you'd like to do that, won't you pray right now? God, I've sinned. I'm sorry. Won't you come into my heart? I confess my sin before you. I ask you to cleanse me and wash me clean. I thank you that you died my death and you've paid my debt of sin. And I put my trust in what you've done for me. And I ask that in the wonderful and the precious name of Jesus. Amen. As an encouragement from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to this great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Amen. And may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. That's my prayer for you this morning. And in a moment I'm going to hand over to Ken, and he's going to lead us in the time of breaking bread together. So if you haven't got the elements, it would be a good time now to put pause and collect the elements, so that we can allow the Spirit of God to presence himself even as we break bread. With glad and sincere hearts, remembering our Savior. Bless you this morning.